Welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast, where it's all about solving the challenges of living with allergies so you can be more confident and stay allergy safe. Here's your host. She's an adrenaline pen carrying grown-up allergy kid, Nina Modak.
Hello and welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast. Today I'm really excited because not only do I have a fellow food allergy trailblazer with me, I also have a world record holder. I have he's an author, he's a podcast host. He's traveled to 35 countries in 3 years, according to my research. So I'll be asking him all about that. And yeah, I'm really happy to welcome Brandon LaBella. So welcome, Brandon.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Nina. And I'm super excited to be on the show and share my story and share my take on allergies and how together we can come together and change the world for the better with this thing that we were kind of unfortunately blessed with. I think it's a blessing in disguise, food allergies. But
I totally agree. I totally agree. And we're going to talk all about that. So first up, can you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, and then tell me what you're allergic to.
Sure. So my name is Brandon LaBella. I live 40 minutes north of New York City in the suburbs, and that's where I grew up with my food allergies to all nuts, all fish, and all milk. And I went to William & Mary in Virginia, and I just graduated, actually, 3 weeks ago.
Congrats.
With a finance and entrepreneurship degree over there. And I currently... just got back from the French Caribbean in Guadeloupe because I am writing my new book about failing, about freedom, and about fulfillment. And super, super excited to send in the manuscript sometime this weekend and get the ball rolling for that. But through my past, I've worked with IBM, I've worked with NASA, I've worked with the Ministry of Tourism in Bali, and done some really cool gigs that have allowed me to kind of understand that I want to make more of a difference in the world, and traveling has, along with food allergies in general, has allowed me to kind of find my true passion, which is using my positivity and motivation to be able to inspire others to achieve their full potential, to live without limits, to live a life that we wake up every day and we just enjoy and love this beautiful place we're on. So that's me. And that's it.
Amazing. Now, just on the allergy front. Now, do you have like really severe allergies to milk, nuts, and fish?
Yeah.
So you're carrying around what's your medical kit consist of?
Yeah, sure. So definitely, I try to use it to my advantage as much as I can. So if I get when I'm traveling, I'll have a special bag with all my snacks and all my medicines. But usually the go-to kit is a 12-pack of Benadryl and two EpiPens. And I carry around that everywhere, whether that's the other day I was snorkeling with some sharks, turtles, and stingrays, and I had the Benadryl right in my pocket.
Seriously?
When I was swimming in, I had a waterproof suit, so I had the Benadryl in my pocket just in case. But at the end of the day, I always bring those everywhere I go to try to avoid and prepare for any unnecessary or unfortunate kind of uncontrollable event that's out of my hands. So got to prepare.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you do a lot of traveling, as we mentioned, and as you just come back. So how do you prepare for traveling?
So I would say I prepare lightly. That's the way I would go. So I usually pick a place that has really, really good, like, I don't like to choose the main, like, juicy destinations. Mm-hmm. I did do a trip to Australia and South Africa, but in general, I like doing these kind of hidden paradises, if you will, because that's where I really find the the best people. That's where I have the best time. And I don't like doing, like, the tourist destinations.
Yeah.
But I usually do some research, and I pick a flight that is reasonably... priced, in warm weather. Those are about my two criteria that I need some research. And for example, in Guadeloupe, the New York Times did this article about how this is like one of the best places in the world in the Caribbean and just has the most amazing beaches and volcanoes. And it's just a hidden gem. So I'll book the flight. And then at the end of the day, I'll go to the hostel for the first night. I'll do a lot of research on the hostels and I'll book a hostel the first night. And then that's all I book. So once I do that, I just meet all these amazing people in the hostel and then go from there. And they've all done like hours and hours of research and they're all like fired up and they have all these plans. And I'm just like, well, I'm just going to add value as much as I can. Enjoy my positivity, my company, and buy dinner or whatever. It doesn't matter. But I'm just going to follow you. So, for example, on this trip, I met these two Italians and they were like, yeah, we're staying in Airbnb. So I saved them the cost. They had a rental car and we literally just went in Airbnb and the entire trip we're running all over the beaches. And I'm just in the back seat working, looking at the volcanoes and the ocean. And then every 45 minutes or so, I'll get up from my writing and I'll go and surf or I'll go and swim or I'll go and do a run or do abs or whatever and get my workout in, did some hikes. So it all works out that way. So
nice.
Just gotta prepare lightly.
Yeah.
But definitely be prepared to trust people. And you have to have a knack, a sense for how to kind of read those situations.
Yeah.
But I've been so fortunate with the people that I met on my travels that have completely changed my life. And I talk about a little bit in my book. But that's kind of where I kind of thrive in those situations. So.
Yeah, that's so cool. And how do you bring up your allergies? Because obviously you're meeting loads of new people all the time. They don't know you. If they looked at you, they'd have no idea that you have life-threatening allergies. So how does it come up and when do you need to tell people?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the first thing, right, is like I want to make it kind of like it's invisible almost. So essentially usually I just like doing my own food. So if we go to the grocery store, I'll be like, oh, just letting you know, like I love eating grilled chicken. I love eating broccoli. I have a very like simple diet because I'm not here to eat food. Although it's cool to explore. I do have severe food allergies. but you guys are welcome to have like whatever, and it's no restrictions to you.
Yeah.
And then when we do go out, this is really funny actually because we went out to this like Vietnamese place yesterday. Or 2 days ago in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And that's when the locals, that's when they really, really come into play. And then once again, they're part of our journey.
Yeah.
So I can definitely read the situation, but they have to speak in the foreign language because I don't speak any language.
Yeah.
So they like speak very seriously in French and in Spanish and whatever language. And they've helped me out so many times, be like, oh, like, are there peanuts? Is it cooked with peanuts? Is it fried in the same place as fish? And it's just crazy because the one thing I want to like say is that you can never fear telling someone you have food allergies. Mm. That's like the number one thing. You want to get it out.
Absolutely.
And then it's like, how can you kind of make the situation like funnier or better? And obviously it's not something to joke about, but it's just like, for example, when we were at the beach and when I was snorkeling, like I said, excuse me, like I'm not gonna be able to eat the fish that you're making. So they made me this chicken and I got the fresh chicken and they all got the fish, but it's just like, and everyone laughs about it, but it's just something where, you know what, you make the best of it. Sometimes you get really good, you get better food out of it. Sometimes you can't eat food and you work on your self-discipline. So there's always some way to look at it in a positive light.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually it's quite nice to hear because I'm one of those people that makes a joke when people hear about food allergies, because, you know, there's a lot of sensationalization in the media about food allergies now, that when you tell someone you've got a food allergy, they go, oh my God, they start panicking before you ever need to panic. So making a joke out about it kind of shows that you're in control of it, that they don't have to worry and that it's just no problem. And then they start to relax and then it's actually safer in the long run.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think that you, and once again, I don't want to like get this stigma, like, oh, it's cool for me and you to joke about it. But it's like, the way I look at it is, as long, like, for example, the locals were joking about it the other day. They were like, everything I ordered, they'd be like, I would be like, oh, I'm getting rice and I'm getting beef. And like, and then they would be like, oh, so what's for dessert? Like peanuts and fish. And like, You know what I mean? Like, you make the, as long as they're keeping me safe.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in the food, they can joke about it. Other people might be sensitive, so you have to be, I guess, aware. But for me, like, as long as I'm not getting a food allergy, that is way okay. And I always say, I use the joke to say, oh yeah, no worries. Like, if worst comes worst, it's all good. You can just stab me with this thing right in the knee. I mean, right in the thigh.
Yeah.
So it's like you use it as like an educational device.
Yeah, exactly. So. And in some ways, when you make something funny, you take it lighthearted, you can put across more information, you can educate better. I mean, that's what comedians do. They kind of, I mean, some of the subject matters that comedians talk about is so sensitive, but they make it so funny that you have to listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely agree with that. So I'm with you on that.
Cool. And so on a day-to-day basis, we obviously talk about we need to keep our medical kits with us all the time. So where do you keep yours on a day-to-day basis when you don't have a backpack? Or do you always have a backpack?
Yeah, so I try to bring one of those small, I have this waterproof like drawstring bag that I like to take, or this Guatemala bag that I like to take everywhere, and has like a small component where I have it.
Yeah.
I definitely don't have like a go-to bag, but I'm always like aware in my head. So I'm actually, if you have any suggestions, I'm so down to, to get even more and more careful with that all the time. I mean, don't get me wrong. I am very careful with it, but I don't have like a go-to place or time. So that's just more for me to learn and somehow add value to.
No, cool. No, they're like, I mean, this is one of the interesting things, because I was talking with our other fellow allergy travels.com founder, trailblazer, Courtney, and we were actually discussing this. So I've asked Kyle, you know, what is he, you know, how does he look after his medication? And we were thinking, well, girl, we always have a bag with us. Like, it's just kind of part of being a woman in Western society. You always have a handbag with you, so we can put it in a handbag. But we were wondering, what do the boys do? Well, I've heard that some people put it in their socks down their shoe, as a guy. I think others, their mums, like the younger teenagers, some of their mums have just insisted they always have a little backpack with them all the time. But I like the idea of your little, like, drawstring bag. That sounds like, maybe you can give me a link for where you got it, because it might be useful for some people.
I can definitely, it's just honestly like a waterproof drawstring bag that I got on the cruise that I was on in the Caribbean that I started really liking, because the waterproof thing has, in when you're in the Caribbean, and actually I recommend this when you go to the Caribbean, is to make sure you do have a raincoat and a waterproof bag.
Okay.
Because although the weather is beautiful paradise and sunshine.
Yeah.
Multiple days we would be like, when we hiked the volcano and we did all these hikes, it would like just start pouring raining. And it's like, for me, it's so funny, because my quote that I live by is like, rain or shine, it's all about your perspective. And there's always shine, whether it's raining. So it's, for me, I just spread my wings freely and like, just get so pumped up when it rains. I love running in the rain. I love walking in the rain, like whatever. But as long as like my iPhone or like whatever I bring is safely there. So like a waterproof backpack is definitely, definitely one to prepare, and also the raincoat for sure, the Caribbean.
Fantastic.
So yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I'll definitely keep that in mind, and anyone going to the Caribbean. Yeah, so you'll be hearing about my Caribbean adventures. So I will let you know about the raincoat and the waterproof bag. So Brandon, you've done like loads of traveling everywhere, and you have talked about, you know, how you're careful. But have you had any allergic reactions while you're traveling?
Yeah, I try to keep it to the minimum.
Yeah,
with my preparation, but
yeah,
it's not always possible. I think I've had maybe like four reactions over my travels, and one was a miscommunication. One was at an airline, and I think the number one way you look at it, right, is like, obviously always be prepared with your medicine. So worst case scenario, you have that. But also, you always need to learn from every situation and embrace it. Yeah. And that's what I talk about in my book. It's about like failing up, right?
So yeah.
You make a mistake, or like you were just like, I'm just gonna eat this. Like there should be nothing in it. Like like an airplane. Then you know what?
Yeah.
Next time I'm gonna bring like really healthy grilled chicken on the plane and say, why am I doing this and making this risk for no reason when I am perfectly mentally and physically healthy? So I mean, I would say that sometimes, like, it's just like there was a nut in the bottom of my salad that in Indonesia, and like I had a little reaction there. Mm. But I think that at the end of the day, like, I've had some reactions where it's just been like, so like, I still don't know where they came from today. Like, when my parents came down for a weekend in Virginia, I always went to this restaurant, and like, just always got good food there. They were very allergy friendly.
Yeah.
And I had like a nice steak and like salad, and like,
yeah,
I just came home and like, just immediately like, just felt like absolute, like, just not myself. And like, was just like, popped a Benadryl, like, just went to the toilet, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And like, I just felt so like, so hurt, and just like in my bed, just so helpless.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a good point to go on, because like, even though like I felt, and this is like kind of the way that I look at food allergies in general, like, I'm lucky because, one, I've been able to use every situation that I unfortunately uncontrollably get into,
yeah,
to be positive. But like, for example, I'm in my bed and like, I can't even like basically breathe that well. I just have a sip of water,
yeah,
and I have this book. It's called Pencils of, or The Promise of a Pencil by Adam Braun.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm reading this book while I can't really do anything, but I look like a tomato. I'm reading this book and they're talking about these children who, they don't have any access to education at all. They can't read, they can't write. All they wish is they had a pencil. And like, that's when it really like hit me, right? It's like, when you have a food allergy reaction, like, it is so bad, and it can be lethal. And I don't want to, yeah, get the severity of it, but the way I looked at it is like, even though I was that helpless in that like moment, like, at the same time, I was able to read, and it just made me feel appreciative and fortunate. So there's always a way to look at something in the,
yeah,
in the positive light.
Absolutely.
And I think obviously definitely the two keys, right? One, prepare,
yeah,
so that it's not deadly.
Yeah.
Even though obviously sometimes, you know what, it's out of our control. But two, definitely if you do have some reaction, just embrace the situation and try to learn from it, and move forward. Don't,
absolutely,
move back, or don't get into the same ways that are going to, mm-hmm, cause that to happen again. That's the way I look at it.
Absolutely.
So.
And then I read on your allergy trailblazer article, which there'll be a link in the show notes, everyone, you said that you have had some allergic reactions on planes, I believe. And can you talk me through like how you dealt with that? Because obviously when you're in the air, it's going to be a bit more difficult getting emergency attention because they might have to land the plane, or, you know, can you tell me a little bit about that and how you dealt with that?
Sure. Yeah. And this might be like a very like, I don't want to get too into the details,
yeah,
but essentially my go-to is when something does happen, I always have, I'll pop immediately like 2 to 4 Benadryl.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go right to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And what I'll do is, actually, no, I'll pop 2 Benadryl and then I'll go to the bathroom and I'll do this trick. It's like, I put 5 fingers down my throat. I can know. You know that feeling when,
yeah,
you have it.
Yeah.
I put 5 fingers down my throat and I kind of force myself to throw up because you have to do that because it's not going to get any better and it's only going to get worse. So
yeah.
I basically pulled it. I call it the 5 finger rule. So I literally just go to the bathroom and just rip it and like pull the trigger as much as I can. And then I don't know if the Benadryl comes out or not, but whatever, I pop 2 more Benadryl and then just start chugging water.
Yeah.
And that's worked every time.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just very fortunate.
Yeah.
But like, just my go-to is like, go to the bathroom,
throw up,
pull the trigger,
yeah,
and just literally like get everything you can out there. And that actually happened one time in, on the cruise when I was in the Caribbean, my parents, and like, they've been treating me so well. And like, you trust them, and they brought out one appetizer, and it was just a missed like communication,
yeah,
of an order. And there was like one nut, and I immediately knew, like,
yeah,
I knew you had that feeling.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Like, I'm running to the bathroom, like, and like, my mom like starts freaking out. My dad's like freaking out. I'm like, nah, we're chilling. I'm just going to pull the trigger and we're good. So it's just gotta move on, I guess.
Yeah. No, it's so true. That's interesting. Yeah. When I had my really bad one in India, all I wanted to do was throw up, but I couldn't make myself throw up. I then, a few hours later, threw up everywhere. So it came out.
The earlier you get it done, the better you feel, and the more likely you are. So.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. So, that is, for everyone listening, that is our personal experiences. I don't know whether a doctor would recommend that or not. So do not take this as medical advice, everyone. Just putting that Don't take it as medical advice.
Do what works for you. That's
yeah,
all.
We'll indeed.
Put it that way.
Indeed. So I wanted to actually talk not about traveling now, but just kind of how you managed high school, because now you've graduated from university and you're kind of in the wider working world. But how did you manage being surrounded by students, your friends, meeting new people, and then all the, I mean, when you're a teenager, you're always worried. I mean, when you're a teenager, you're so self-conscious because you're kind of finding yourself and you're aware of much more, even though now as an adult, you think, why was I so worried about things? I mean, I'm not sure if that was you, but like, how did you manage high school with being a guy with food allergies? Was there a difference?
Sure. Yeah. And I think that that's something that I definitely talk about as like a symptom in my book about just this self-consciousness. And I wouldn't even, I mean, I think that definitely it's easier to get to be in that mode if you have food allergies, but I would say in general, like self-consciousness is a very serious issue today because everyone feels, and it's just the nature of society is like, everyone feels that at the end of the day, like it's like we are not worthy or we are not this. And I would just completely shatter that fallacy by saying everyone has a gift. Everyone is worthy. Everyone is awesome. Mm-hmm. But I think that the way that I approached it moving up is when I was in middle school and high school, I created this club. It was called the Food Allergies Awareness Club.
Oh, cool.
I kind of got like 30 to 40 people on it. And this is when I was like really, really into just the community and the whole aspect. And I did the food allergies walk and we raised over like $1,000. But I think that we like went to local elementary schools and we talked about the severity of it. And it all stemmed from a middle school. They put us at like these tables that like we weren't like, we were excluded because we had food allergies. Like they would put us at these tables and like we would have like one friend that we can invite or something and that's it. So we were like very like excluded. So I kind of like took action in high school on that. But I guess like, once again, I think, and this is the theme throughout, right? Is like, you look at it and you say, how can you make me like unique rather than how can you make me not have something?
Yeah.
So like, instead of saying why me and complaining, which doesn't really do anything, you say, why not me?
Yeah.
And just say like, I'm just going to embrace this. But I think that in general, and I don't want to like veer from your question, but that's the way I look at it, right? Is like, oh, if I stopped drinking now and like, I don't like drinking anymore, but just to give another analogy for that, I just see how many bottles of water I can drink or how many gallons of water I can drink at the party or how many pitchers of club soda I could have at the bar, because you just want to make yourself unique enough where people respect you. So I guess the way to do it is like maybe the way in food allergies would be have this really, really cool lunchbox, right?
Yeah.
That every day, like everyone, or whatever, have like something where you not only fit in, but you thrive and people respect that.
Yeah.
So, and that's the way that I would approach it.
Yeah, absolutely. General. It's like standing for what you believe in, what you think, what works for you, and just not apologizing for it. And just
Because at the end of the day, we're living to be ourselves. We're living to be mentally and physically healthy, and trying to please other people or trying to do something, because when we have this something out of our control is just not really a good idea, and it's going to make us feel worse about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way I think that I talk about in my book to improve self confidence, because you are the only you, and you are special. So
yeah. That's so true. It's so true. And now I think actually this is kind of drawing the interview to a really nice close. So the last question I actually like to ask everybody, and I do ask everybody, is can you tell me your three top tips for being allergy safe and that like that would relate and be helpful to people who are new to allergies?
Awesome. Yeah. So, it's a good one. So I think I've kind of said a couple of them, but I would say the first is why not me rather than why me? And kind of just how you can use this as a way to grow, a way to get stronger, as a way to inspire others around you. So I think that's the first one. I think the second one is you don't realize the utilization of like just the community itself. And I've just been so amazed by all these communities that have reached out to me, like the food allergy travels. And I want to talk to you more and learn more about what you do in terms of Allergy Eats. But in general, like, I'm amazed by the amount of resources there are. So I think that you would be doing a disservice to explore those resources as a way to meet people, as a way to create communities that help you grow and inspire you and give you the confidence. Because I think that a lot of times we get very like comfortable and we say, oh, like, I don't want to bother them. But if you're really doing something for food allergies and you have this problem, you need to kind of go and embrace it. And you need to embrace it through people. So I think my second tip would be what I said earlier, but my second tip would be always learn from anything, right? If you get food allergies, learn from your experiences and use people to kind of bring people closer together, improve relationships, improve that. That'd be the second tip. And the third tip, I guess in general, kind of use this reverse psychology of, obviously, the third tip is definitely preparation. Preparation is key, right? Preparation allows you to be free as much as you can, because we do have this restriction. Mm-hmm. So definitely I would say prepare. Prepare to be free, but at the same time, prepare to be limitless. So just use that as another motivation to kind of be as great and enjoy life as much as you can with the restrictions given to you. So I think that it's a kind of a way to look at it and say, I'm special and I'm going to make the most out of this and I'm going to embrace it.
Yeah.
So I think that's the third tip, prepare and embrace, because everyone is limitless. So.
Amazing. Yeah, that's fantastic advice. I'm so excited to be sharing this with everybody. And now you've been mentioning your book. Can you tell me, like, how can people find out about it? And I'd love to put a link in the show notes, and when people can kind of expect maybe it to be published. Do you have any idea about that yet?
So I just had a call with the publisher yesterday, and it's super, super exciting. It should be done today or tomorrow. And it will be done. It will be out in the next couple of months. So I'm actually creating my website right now, and in the next month or so, we should have the whole Amazon link and pre-orders. So when it comes out, I'll definitely share it with the allergy community and stuff. But it's all about failing. It's all about freedom, and it's all about fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And it's about kind of using failing up, like I'm talking about. It's using positivity. It's using like confidence. It's all about how we can keep moving forward in society with this amazing ecosystem of people and opportunities we have in order to find true freedom and fulfillment and really find what our true meaning and purpose is in life. And that's kind of a little spiel there, but I'll definitely try to be sharing it through, like, spoken, through Allergy Travels, through your network.
Yeah, definitely.
Just to get that message out, because I just think that we're in a interesting time here where I'm so excited for 2018, and I just see there's so much opportunity for just everyone and resources in the food allergy community and the health community and everything. But there's something holding us back. Mm-hmm. And I think my book's going to solve that.
Amazing.
And create ways that to bring people closer together and bring people more happy, free, fulfilled, and at the end of the day, just being themselves. So
yeah.
That's it.
Amazing. And then where can people connect with you on social media if they want to follow your traveling and stuff?
Yeah, sure. So my Instagram, I like to keep it my Instagram. That's it. And that's BLabella13. And I'm on Facebook as Brandon Labella, so you can connect with me there. But when I do get a new website in the next – it should be done by Monday, actually. When I get the new website done, I'll definitely share it with you. And that's where you can find all my travels, all my experiences, and all my content and stuff that I'm going to start putting out. So definitely look for that. And then my podcast, I'm trying to get it on iTunes right now. Like I said, like, I've been so like busy with this book that I've been putting all this stuff off, but now I'm ready to go full throttle. So the podcast is called F2F Facts Only. Right now it's on SoundCloud, but it's really, really good content. It's about millennials and how they use inspiration, positivity, and confidence to be high performers in this beautiful world we live in. So So I only have two episodes, but I'm coming out with two more today. So yes, I am going to try my best to create one sort of channel to get all this stuff out to you, because I know that it can definitely positively impact and definitely help people with some of these key issues that might be holding them back. But yeah, I apologize for that. And that's kind of my mission this weekend is to figure out these kind of channels. So
cool.
Well, excuse me for that.
No. Actually, by the time that this this episode goes live, it will probably all be done, Brandon, actually. So I'll be having all the links in one place on the show notes. You can go check those out, everybody. So thank you so much, Brandon, for talking to me. This was very inspirational. I'm so excited for this to go live and everybody to hear it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for having me, and just wishing you and the listeners an amazing week. An amazing 2018. It's going to be the best one yet for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll catch you soon.
So that was Brandon LaBella, and I love talking to Brandon and hearing all his advice. Now, I always have questions, actually, because I think, you know, how do guys manage their allergies? It's because I always find that men and women are quite different. I know there's lots of stuff going on in the media that's saying that no, everyone needs to be treated equally. But as many of you parents know, your children are never the same. They want to do things differently, and they choose to do things differently. It's just in their personality. And I think that carries on into adulthood. No two people manage their allergies or manage the way they do things exactly the same. And as a girl, I manage and handle myself around people differently to a way a guy would. So talking to Brandon, hearing about how he manages things is really great. And to hear that, you know, he's done the school, the university, and also the fact that he makes something great out of a dire situation. I love the story he told about when he was at school, you know, being on the allergy kids table all alone. So that was really lonely. And he then made something out of it. So later on, I think it was when he reached high school, he said that he made the allergy food, the food allergy kids club. And I thought that was great. I mean, he made friends, he made a community, and that's what we're all trying to do. This is what the podcast is about. This is why I wanted to get Brandon on. So thank you, Brandon. Again, everyone, I really hope you enjoyed this. And, you know, Brandon is one of my fellow food allergy trailblazers. And currently, I am off traveling, and I'm in New York at the moment, as this is, or I'm on my way to the Caribbean, something like that. I am traveling over on the other side of the pond. So any of my American listeners, do get in touch. Tell me what I should go visit. Tell me what your favorite places in the Caribbean or in New York are. Like, you can get in touch with me via social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Eat Allergy Safe is the handles on all of it. You can also email me, go to admin@eatallergysafe.com, or email me through the contact page of the eatallergysafe.com website. I am currently, while I'm traveling, making a little travel journal. So recording what I'm up to, when the inspiration strikes, you know, recipes I'm doing, so that I can show you, you know, how do I cater for myself on holiday when I'm not at home, when I'm not in my kind of natural and comfortable environment. So I'm going to be publishing actually some travel recipes. They're, you know, really quick one-pot meals, because sometimes when you're traveling, you don't have time, or you just don't have the utensils, actually. And how do you make it safe? How do you do safe food shopping? All of that. So I'm looking forward to traveling. I am traveling. I'm loving it. But for publishing that travel journal when I am back, and that's all edited for you. So that is it for today. I also wanted to say, just before we go, now, do you have any stories to tell? Have you overcome allergy challenge? Has this podcast helped you overcome a challenge or grow in confidence? I would love for you to get in contact with me. Send me an email via the eatallergysafe.com website, go to the contact page, and tell me about it. If this podcast, if you or someone in your life has overcome an allergy challenge and grown or changed or made the best of a situation, I want to hear about it. And even if it's your allergy kid, that's amazing. I love having allergy kids on the show sharing their experiences of living with allergies, because I also find that when you have a kid tell an adult that they're fine, that they're managing it well, I find that it really starts to alleviate some of the stress, because that's the worry when you're a parent, that your kid's not going to have the best in life because they have an allergy. But you know what? I have had so many people come on the podcast, listeners come on the podcast, such as Felicia Salbartinelli, Ellie Heinz from last week. I've had Cindy Murray, who is also a listener, come on and talk about all the things that have gone right with their life and how their allergies or intolerances, their, you know, dietary restrictions have actually had a silver lining, and they want to celebrate that. So please do get in touch with me. Tell me a little bit about yourself, about your allergy challenge, and how you have had an allergy win. Go to the eatallergysafe.com website, go to the contact page, and you can send me an email directly from there. So thank you so much for joining me. And next week, I'm actually quite excited because we're going to be starting a little mini 3-week looking at free from businesses. And I have three different business owners with three completely different stories at completely different stages of their journey to tell me all about how they've developed, grown, and what they've learned from running a free from business. So I'm really excited about that. And if there's anyone of you who has been interested in starting a business, you've got an idea, definitely these are the three to listen to. So thanks for joining me, and I look forward to talking with you next week. Remember, allergies aren't about missing out, they're about doing things differently.
You have been listening to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast by Nina Modak. If you want to help other people with allergies discover this podcast, then please rate it in iTunes. It only takes a few seconds. Your rating could make the crucial difference in letting a fellow allergy sufferer find out that they're not alone and help is available. Thank you.